Hi, Christopher O'Reilly here, and this week's podcast is kind of special in that it features a wonderful teenage girl performing on the guzheng. That's the traditional Chinese instrument that's plucked much like a zither. The way she bends notes is wonderfully expressive, and we all really enjoyed the epic scale of her piece. I hope you do too. Here's the show.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. There are lots of tricks that classical musicians use to get through a performance. They hum, they tap their toes, they write things on their hands. Well, today, you'll meet a member of a teenage string quartet with a whole new trick. He'll sing a pop song to remind his quartet mates of the right tempo, like staying alive for 100 beats per minute. Get the idea? Here's our host, one of America's finest concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome. Today we're in Morris Auditorium at the Peabody Essex Museum in Salem, Massachusetts, the oldest continuously operating museum in the country. Its predecessor was founded in 1799. The Peabody Essex Museum has been celebrating art, culture, and creative expression ever since, with its extensive collections of American, African, Asian, Native American, maritime, and oceanic art. And to utilize a small sample of the fantastic visual resources that surround us here, we've asked our young musicians to pick a work from the museum's collection that they think evokes emotions similar to the music they're performing, like with the incredibly talented string quartet on stage with me now, their Quartet Fuoco from Midwest Young Artists in Chicago. Please welcome them. Fuoco, of course, means fire in Italian, and this quartet is totally on fire these days after their win of this year's junior division of the Fischoff National Chamber Music Competition. They are violinists Rachel Stenzel, 17, and Aiden Perot, 16, David Berghoff, 18-year-old violist, and our cellist is Christopher Gao, 17. Rachel is at the mic. Rachel, what are you guys going to play?
We'll be playing the fifth movement of Bartok's fourth string quartet.
And what piece of art have you chosen to accompany this aggressive, craggy music, and why?
We chose a piece called Door by Richard Hunt and John Livingston. And as the name says, this is just a normal door, and it has some weird kind of markings and paintings on it, and there's also a random head coming out of the door. So it's kind of a disturbing image. And we thought that that fit the character of our Bartok, which sounds rather disturbing at some times.
Door is actually a Native American piece from the Pacific Northwest made in the 80s. It's a carved piece. It looks like parts and symbols from a totem pole. It juxtaposes the traditional symbols of raven and a killer whale, and it has that beautiful mask as a doorknob. A note to our listeners, images of the works of art we're going to reference today can be seen on our website at fromthetop.org. Okay, so light this up, Fuoco Quartet. Take it from the top.
Thank you.
Teenage members of Quartet Cuoco from Midwestern Artists in Chicago performing the final movement of Béla Bartók's Quartet No. 4. The Cuoco Quartet is coached by Matthias Paca. Well, Cuoco Quartet, that was an incredibly energetic and fiery performance, but also I really admired the clarity of the counterpoint. I mean, there's enough fugal motion in this piece to make Bach envious. And I understand that with such a balance between rough and ready and clarity, you guys didn't necessarily play it the right way according to your coach. How did you bring it to Shmuel Ashkenazi, Rachel?
Well, at first, obviously, we were trying to play the notes together. That was the first big goal to get to, and I think we're still working on that sometimes. But so we were trying so hard to play together, play the notes at the right time even, and we really missed the character of the piece, and we would perform it, and the character needs to be kind of rough, the whole piece.
He was pretty direct about it. He said it should sound uglier, right?
Yes. Yeah. And so when we played this in a masterclass for Mr. Ashkenazi, he said basically, it needs to be uglier. And he, coming from him, that was a crazy comment because he tells us every time, it needs to be more beautiful, more beautiful. But he was saying we were actually sacrificing the character of the piece for the sake of playing together and in tune.
Well, so demonstrate to all of us what it used to sound like when you were more focused on playing perfectly. Gosh, yeah, much better the way you played it. I mean, that reminds me of a little bit of that jazz pianist that took out all of Thelonious Monk's quote-unquote wrong notes, you know. There's another somewhat disconcerting part of playing this quartet. Christopher, explain what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so in this particular movement, what Bartók likes to do is he likes to split the quartet in two, so have the cello and the viola play together and have the two violins play together. And what happens a lot is that we're all given the same melody, except at two different times. So we're actually playing this a beat apart. So that just makes everything so much more difficult to play together.
Let's hear what that sounds like. ¶¶ again, canonic motion, like, you know, that Bach would rival. But what did Mr. Ashkenazi say about this?
He actually said, you know what, just don't worry so much about these parts, because no matter what, it'll never sound clean. And coming from him, who's the first violinist of the Vermeer Quartet, you know, such a prestigious quartet, it was kind of disheartening to hear that.
Well, but it does have that cluttered, messy feel to it, you know, really, really jamming together those voices. And then there's the issue of making sure you all start at the same tempo. David, you've sung pop tunes to do that.
Well, right? I have sung one pop tune. There was a piece we were playing earlier in the year that required us to play at quarter note equals 100 beats per minute. And that's not a very normal tempo to play at. It's actually a little difficult to find that tempo, because it's not like 60 or 120 where it's based on the minute and the second. And so while the rest of the quartet was pondering on how to get it without a metronome, I remembered that in CPR, they try to beat the heart at 100 times per minute. But people don't know how to do that, so they train them to beat at the rhythm of the song Staying Alive. And so...
An appropriate song,
yes.
Too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, very perfect. It's Another One Bites the Dust is also, but...
Maybe not so encouraging.
And so, of course, I just burst into song. Yeah, and so it worked after we stopped laughing.
So what's a song you could use to help remind you of the tempo of the opening of this Bartok movement?
Well, this is a quarter note equals 152 beats per minute. That's pretty close to Billy Joel's Only the Good Die Young.
Let's try it.
Only the good die young.
Wow, I can't wait to hear the rest of the quartet. Sort of Uptown Girl tempo for the second movement. You guys are coming back at the end of the show to play the music of William Walton. We're going to look forward to that. And bravo on your competition win and this wonderful performance. Thank you. Quartet Cuoco, four fabulous teenage string players studying at Midwest Young Artists in Chicago.
Over the last 8 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded nearly $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. And while you're there, check out our weekly podcast so you can listen to From the Top anytime you want and wherever you go. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our second performer is a terrific soprano I first heard when I was doing concerts and classes in her hometown of Lake Jackson, Texas. She's 18, and her name is Catherine Lideline. Catherine, we're asking our young performers on today's show to pick a work of art in the collection here at the Peabody Essex Museum and tell us how it connects to their music. First of all, what are you going to sing?
Today I will be singing Sa Chanterie by Henri Duparc. And the piece of art that I picked is a figurehead from sometime in the 1870s from a ship called Marie. The artist is anonymous, and I chose it because she kind of has this hopeful look in her eyes, and she looks very longing, like she's thinking about some great love, which coincidentally is what I do in my song. So the piece is about this girl who's lived this very sorrowful life, and she's talking about her lover, and she's saying that when she's with him, she finally feels happy. And she talks about how when she's in his arms and when they're together, she can escape the troubles of the real world and just be with him. And the piece ends on a hopeful note when she tells her lover that if she's with him long enough, she can live a life of joy with him, and he can cure her of her depression forever.
Thank you.
Catherine Lideline, 18-year-old soprano from Lake Jackson, Texas.
My name is Rujia Tang. I am 18 years old, and I play the guzheng. The guzheng is a traditional Chinese string instrument, and it has 21 strings. It first appeared in 500 BC, and at that time, it only had 5 strings, which is why the guzheng is in the pentatonic scale. However, as it developed throughout history, the number of strings increased to 12, 13, 16, 18, and now finally 21. The guzheng is a plucking instrument, and to play it, I wear picks on all of my fingers except for my 2 pinkies. And the picks are actually very similar to the guitar picks. And the instrument itself looks like the harp. However, instead of being vertical, it's horizontal. My mother was actually the person who wanted me to first start taking guzheng lessons. And the reason for that was because she actually really wanted to play the guzheng when she was young. And however, due to economic issues, she wasn't able to. And so it was always a dream of hers to have a daughter and then let her play the guzheng and live vicariously through her in a way. But it was actually my grandmother who took me to my first guzheng lesson, because at that time, both of my parents were actually in Japan studying for their PhDs. And my grandmother, in order to motivate me to go to each lesson, she would always buy me snacks and candies after each lesson. And so that's actually partially the reason why I chose to continue on with those lessons. Me and my grandmother are very close. She was actually the person who raised me up from when I was 3 to when I was 9, which is when I moved to the United States. And she and I shared a very close bond. She's a very generous, a very forgiving person. And even though I wasn't physically, you know, near my parents, I never felt that I was missing out on any parental love, because I think she gave me all that and even more. My grandmother actually passed away a month ago from cervical cancer, and so I would like to dedicate this performance to her, who have always motivated me to follow my dreams.
Rujia, I'm so sorry to hear about the loss of your grandmother, and you must feel that loss keenly when you play this particular piece. It's based on an ancient Chinese folk melody that in itself reflects a very sad story. What is the piece and what's the history?
Well, the piece is called The Sorrow at Ling'an, and it is about a Chinese general who's very famous and is considered the hero of his country. He led China to many victories. However, later on in his life, he was betrayed by his colleagues and his friends, and the betrayal actually eventually led to his execution. And so the piece is actually talking about describing his thoughts and his feelings as he is being taken to his execution ground.
The Peabody Essex Museum has a huge Chinese collection, so it's only natural that you've chosen an object from that collection. Will you describe it and say a little about how it relates to this very sad piece?
Of course. The piece that I chose is a series of Chinese funeral figurines from the 8th to the 14th century. The artists are unknown, and the reason I chose this piece was because the title of the piece is actually called Reverence for the Dead. And in a sense, this piece is praising the general for all the accomplishments and all that he has done for his nation, even after all these years. So I figured it was a fitting piece.
This is a group of earthenware stone figurines depicting servants, animals, and gods placed on the graves of the dead to serve them in the afterlife. Again, an image of these figurines is on our website at fromthetop.org. Yujia Tang, 18 years old, from Rockville, Maryland, playing the Dujan, the Eternal Sour of Lin An, by Zhanhao He. Yujia is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Yujia, that's such an amazing sound.
Thank you.
It's just so many of us,
I'm sure,
hearing it for the first time. And, mm-hmm. and for a plucked instrument, there's so much expressivity in your playing and the way that one can get around the instrument. It reminds me of a very high-end cimbalom or a butterfly harp. I'm sure the Gujang came first. I just have a feeling it just has an iconic sound.
Thank you so much.
It's a beautiful piece, too.
Thank you.
You moved to the U.S. from China when you were only 9 years old, speaking no English. Mm-hmm. Tell everybody how you made it through that first year of school.
Well, actually, to be honest, it was actually all kind of a blur. I mean, now that I look back, it's kind of like, oh, so, you know, that happened. But back then, it was a very slow process. And I remember my first day at my elementary school, my teacher assigned another Chinese student to be my translator. And her sole job was to translate every single syllable that my teacher told her to tell me. And, you know, looking back, it was a nine-year-old taking care of another nine-year-old. But, I mean, she did an amazing job, so I'm not complaining. But, yeah, and I actually lost contact with her over the years when we went to different middle schools. But I think it was the end of this year when I was interning at the National Institute of Health. I just walked into a lab one day and, you know, there she was. So, you know, it's a small world.
Wow.
But, yeah, it was nice connecting with her again. It was a great pleasure seeing her.
That's very good. Well, I hope you're not under surveillance and she's following you or something. But that is very nice to run into her again. Now, you're obviously quite comfortable in this country, but the degree of comfort has you concerned. Why is that?
I think, you know, having been in America for almost half of my life now, I think in a sense, I feel like sometimes I'm losing touch with my Chinese culture, and I think that's something that's very easy to do. And, you know, playing the guzheng is actually one way for me to remember, you know, where I came from and to connect with my past. So, yeah.
Well, your performance was instantly evocative, and we thank you
thank you.
That. Just brilliant and virtuosic playing as well.
Thank you so much.
Best of luck to you, Yujia.
Thank you so much.
Yujia Tang, 18 years old, from Rockville, Maryland.
If you're wondering what it would be like to see these amazing performers in action, hop over to our YouTube channel. There you'll find video clips from each and every show, behind-the-scenes features, even content created by the young musicians themselves. Go to youtube.com/fromthetop.
Support for From the Top comes from this and other radio stations, and from U.S. Trust, who believes that the arts play a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians, as well as NPR listeners. From New England Conservatory of Music, where young artists and teachers are committed to transforming classical music. Online at necmusic.edu. And from the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, whose mission is to advance the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. This is NPR.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from Morse Auditorium at the Peabody Essex Museum in Salem, Massachusetts. Coming up, captivating music written by the composer in residence here at the museum and performed by the composer himself and a teenage violinist from the Boston area. Today's show from the PBD Essex Museum is made possible with support from the museum's music program and its patrons Eunice and Jay Panetta and the Robert N. Shapiro Fund for Innovation. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. An excellent 14-year-old pianist from Lexington, Massachusetts, has just joined me on stage to perform the music of Franz Liszt. His name is Andrew Lee. Andrew, what Liszt favorite are you going to tackle today?
I'm going to play Liszt's Hungarian Rhapsody No. 6.
Andrew, we've been asking all of our young performers today to pick a work of art from the collection here at the Peabody Essex Museum that reflects the emotional tone of their music, and we're posting images of those works on our website. What have you chosen?
I've chosen an oil painting from 1849 called Twilight on the Kennebec, painted by Fitz Henry Lane, and I thought this painting related to my piece because, as some people know, the Hungarian Rhapsodies were written about the gypsies of Hungary, and they loved to roam around the countryside, and my teacher said that when they roamed around and when they came to a stop, the ground, which was all grass, was their floor, and the sky was their roof. So I thought that this painting would be a great representation of that.
It's a wonderful painting. Actually, the use of light in these paintings that he did of ships and ports was really quite one of Fitz Henry Lane's trademarks. He was actually a local guy, came from the nearby town of Gloucester, Massachusetts. The stage is yours, Andrew.
Thank you.
Andrew Lee, 14 years old, our pianist from Lexington, Massachusetts, playing the Sixth Hungarian Rhapsody by Franz Liszt. Andrew, I'm astonished. That was a wonderful performance. You know, that was a favorite piece of mine when I was your age. Now I see how that's supposed to sound. This is good. Thank you for teaching it to me. It's clear that your teacher, Wak Kyung Byun, is not only dependable for wonderful, evocative gypsy imagery, but she's really given you your own sound, and she's really sending you beautifully on your way. You know, your older brother, George, has been on the program, and he of course, has he's already got a burgeoning concert career and management and all that. Do you find it a competitive thing with your brother, or how's your relationship together?
Oh, we have some friendly rivalry. Mm-hmm. Usually I use him as a role model, and, a couple of years ago, I decided that I wanted to beat him someday. I don't know if that's gonna happen, but also we're pretty tight, as people say. We both share a love for the Boston Red Sox, so sometimes we go to the games together. Yeah.
And I guess George is way into the stats too, huh?
Oh yeah, he is.
Oh yeah. Very heavy. Well, while he's working on his batting averages and things like that, you're, in the meantime, not only playing the piano, you also play the violin. And oh, yeah. You say that that helps you as a pianist. Tell everybody about that.
Oh, yeah. Usually when I'm playing something that has a very singing melody, such as like Chopin Nocturne, for example, it usually helps me to visualize the line better when I have a violin in hand. Mm-hmm. So usually sometimes I play the melody or the top line usually with the violin, so that really helps me on the piano.
Yes, being adept on a singing instrument will help the singing quality of your piano playing, as evidenced by this wonderful performance. Andrew, we wish you all the best, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Beautiful time. Andrew Lee, 14 years old, a pianist from Lexington, Massachusetts. Our hosts today, the Peabody Essex Museum, launched a new music performance and education program last year, and they named a fantastic young artist to be the museum's composer in residence, Massachusetts native Matt O'Coyne. In addition to his work as a composer, Matt, at the tender age of 23, is emerging as a serious force in the conducting world. He was the youngest assistant conductor ever at the Metropolitan Opera, and he's currently the Schulte Conducting Apprentice at the Chicago Symphony. His chamber and orchestral compositions have been performed at Italy's Spoleto Festival and the Juilliard School, and by the Zurich Tonhalle Orchestra. Recently, the American Repertory Theater commissioned Matt to compose an opera to be directed by Tony Award winner Diane Paulus. Welcome, Matt.
It's great to be here.
Yeah, great to have your illustrious self with us. My gosh, it's quite a list of accomplishments. Let's start off by hearing a piece you wrote for piano and violin. You're going to play your own piano part, but we've brought back one of our favorite From the Top alums to join you on the violin, 17-year-old Yuki Beppu from Lexington, Massachusetts. Yuki, great to have you on the program again.
Thank you.
Great to see you. Matt, would you introduce the music and tell everyone a little about it?
We're going to be playing a piece called Corona from a set called Ceylon Fragments. These are originally vocal settings of poems by Paul Celan, of which I've made transcriptions for violin and piano. Thank you.
Yuki Beppu, 17-year-old violinist from Lexington, Massachusetts, playing Corona from Matt O'Coin's Ceylon Fragments. Matt, the composer in residence here at the Peabody Essex Museum, is at the piano, and he's now joining me at the microphone. Matt, wonderful work. I hear at the beginning of Corona just the slightest whiff of the late Intermezzi of Brahms. Is that intentional, or am I just making that up?
It probably snuck in there.
Yeah.
The opus, what, 117,
yes,
number
very,
two? It is a favorite. It
very,
probably snuck in there.
Very deep stuff. Just beautiful work. Why does an art museum have a composer in residence?
Because PEM is an adventurous art museum. And one thing, yeah. One thing I love about it is that sometimes you have an idea for a piece and you think, what orchestra would be crazy enough to do this in their home? And normally, if no orchestra comes to mind, PEM is willing to do it. So we do some pretty wild things here.
You were saying a sort of a performance in the round of the Berg Violin Concerto, things like that.
That did happen. Oh, we
gosh.
Recently staged most of Gluck's Orpheus opera alongside a new Orphically inspired piece of mine for the countertenor Anthony Roth Costanzo in one of the galleries. And it's fantastic, you know, wood floors, floor-to-ceiling windows, and even a staircase that seems to go down into the underworld.
That's right.
So sometimes it just feels like the perfect place to make music.
Wonderful opportunity for all involved. My goodness. I've mentioned your amazing career as both composer and conductor, and that your opera, Crossing, will debut at the American Repertory Theater next year. But you have several other operas in the works, yes?
That's right. There's a piece actually aimed at kids, or with a young audience in mind, for Lyric Opera of Chicago, which opens in August of next year. And there will be a piece for the Met, but that one's barely even like an embryo yet. It's just
the very beginning. Very heady stuff, Matt. You're doing great things, and great to hear such wonderful music from you today.
It's great to be here, Chris. Thanks.
Take care. Matt O'Coin, composer in residence here at the Peabody Essex Museum.
Want to hear more of Matt's music? We have video of Yuki and Matt performing another movement from Ceylon Fragments at fromthetop.org. Chris.
Well, I promised we'd be treated to another performance by this year's Fischhoff National Chamber Music Competition winners, Quartet Fuoco. Rachel Stenzel, 17, and Aidan Perot, 16-year-old, violinists. David Berghoff, 18-year-old violist. And Christopher Gao, our 17-year-old cellist. Christopher, would you introduce this driving piece of music you're going to end?
Yeah, the last piece you will all hear is the last movement of Walton's Quartet in A minor. It's very fast, it's driving, energetic, and it has a lot of A's.
Okay.
Yeah.
A high-energy way to end our show today. I want to thank all of our young performers, and thank you for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Quartet Fuoco, you can take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker, with music director Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam, and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Willett, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavin and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from the William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people. Online at wtgrantfoundation.org. From the Lemelson Foundation, committed to improving lives through invention in the U.S. and developing countries. On the web at lemelson.org. From the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. And from Joyce V. Hale, in the interest of engaging an informed and civil electorate. This is NPR.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org.